Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Zayin. So today we're going to discuss the following things. First, we started discussing yesterday. The parak began with Mefan Nafil Arba V'Chamish Kupos about removing things in order to make room for Orchim or for Beis HaMedrash. So we're going to discuss if you have a large pile of grain, if that's considered Muktza on account of it being set aside for storage. And then we're going to raise two questions about the line in the Mishnah that permits moving four or five boxes to make room for guests. First, is it more important to limit the walk while carrying the boxes, or more important, to limit the weight that the person carries at one time? And second, is it mutter to move four or five boxes for all the guests, or can you move that many boxes for each guest? So since the Mishnah mentions clearing a house for the purpose of Achnas Sarchim, so we're going to have a lot of Agadita today. The Gemara is going to discuss the importance of the mitzvah of Achnas Sarchim, and since Achnas Sarchim goes on the same list as being Dan Chaver Lekav Schus, on the same list of special mitzvahs, the Gemara tells three stories about Dan Lekav Schus, so I'm base is mostly about Dan Lekav Schus, and then we go back to the types of food that are listed in the Mishnah that are identified as not being Muktza, and we're going to discuss why it is that they're not Muktza. Some of them, it seems, should be Muktza. Some of them, it seems, are obviously not Muktza, therefore you don't need a Mishnah to tell me they're not Muktza. So that is the basic outline of the daf. So we started yesterday, we had a machlokas between Rav Chista and Shmuel in terms of why it is that the Mishnah says four or five. Obviously, if you're allowed to move five boxes out of the way, you're obviously allowed to move four boxes out of the way. So we said that according to Rav Chista, it depends. If you have only five boxes in total, you can't move all five. You can't completely clear the space, but you can move four. If you have many more than five boxes, or any more than five boxes, you can move five, but five is the max. According to Shmuel, however, a four or five is just an expression. Afilu tuvinami mefanin. You can move as much as you want. You're allowed to move out of the room. So we are holding, I believe, about five lines into the page. Tan Rabbanan. So says the Braisa. Tan Rabbanan. Ein maschilin ba'otzer tchila. Aval osa b'shvil shekedei sheyukanes v'yetze. Person is not allowed to start clearing out a room originally on Shabbos, but what he can do is make a path so that he can go in and out of the room. But we just said that you're not allowed to begin clearing out the room on Shabbos. So how could you be making a path on Shabbos? Isn't that a violation of being maschil?
It
means that as you walk in and out of the room, you can make a path with your legs, meaning kick out of the way whatever items are there in order to make a path. So Rashi, that's how Rashi explains. Mefana baraglo l'kan l'kan derech halichaso lavi tiltel. That's not going to be a violation of muktza when you kick things out of the way with your feet. This brisa is quoted in the Rif. The Rif brings this brisa. Balamar points out that it's strange that the Rif brings this brisa. This brisa seems to be assuming, according like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and we pass like Rabbi Shimon that lesle muktza, meaning this whole thing is only the whole idea of ein. Of not starting to clear out the room, ein maschilin ba'otzar, is only if you assume like Rabbi Yehuda, who has the broader definition of muktza. So the Ramban explains, no, the brisa is brought by the Rif because of the last part where he says osa boshvil baraglo. That's no geya for Rabbi Shimon also, for whatever Rabbi Shimon holds as muktza. Meaning, granted, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold there are as many things that would be considered muktza, but what about grogros tzimukin? Rabbi Shimon thinks that dried fruits are considered muktza. Let's say the room is filled with dried fruits. So this halacha about osa boshvil baraglo, about kicking things out of the way, Rabbi Shimon would also hold of this halacha. So that's and the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Shin Ches of Katan Zayin, you're allowed to be metaltal muktza baraglo derech hilucho, based on this Gemara. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says as well, that in Siman Shin Ches of Katan Yud Gimel, in the name of the Chayi Adam, that if you're metaltal begufo, oh baraglo, if you move something with your body, tiltal muktza begufo, we're going to see Gemara about that explicitly, that you're allowed to lie down on something and move muktza begufo, is kicking something with your feet considered tiltal muktza begufo, or is that more like moving something with your hands? Says the Mishnah Brura, you see from our Gemara that tiltal muktza beraglo is the same as tiltal muktza begufo, and therefore it's going to be mutter. It's even better than tiltal menatzad. Tiltal menatzad is when you move something indirectly, you move it with something else, using something else. This is better than that. This is tiltal begufo. So if you have a muktza item on the floor, you're allowed to kick it out of the way so that it doesn't get stepped on, it doesn't get trampled on, for whatever reason you want to kick it out of the way. That's tiltal muktza begufo. That's what he writes in Derech HaChaim as well. Tiltal begufo, oh
biraglav mutter, and therefore he says you're allowed to sit on stones, even though you're going to be moving the stones slightly when you sit on them, because that's called tiltul muksa begufo. The Rav Shlomo Zalman in Milcha Shlomo Simin Yudalit Os Beis writes that since the Yitzhar Muksa is only Gzeira Atu Hotzah, remember we saw the Rabban and the Ravid why they asked for Muksa, so at least according to the Ravid it's only Gzeira Atu Hotzah, and the halacha is that if you're metalto begufo kalachar yad, since if you were to do hotzah in that way, you'd be pata from a chatas, so that's why there were never gozer the yisur muktzah when you do it kalachar yad or you do it begufo. But anyway, that's the basic sheet of the Mishnah Berurah, that when you kick something, that's called tiltul begufo, that's mutah. The Chazanish disagrees. Chazanish in Simon Mem Zayin, Sivkot Yud Gimel, says it's mashma from our Gemara, the opposite. That dafka b'knisa v'yitzia derech hilucho avlo behedyetz. As you're walking, natural way of walking, your feet are going to move things aside while you're walking. But to actually go out of your way to kick something with your foot, that would not be mutter. So it sounds like even l'tzorach makomo, you're not allowed to be metaltal muksa baraglov. It's not called tiltal minatzad even. So Mishnah Berurah said it's better than tiltal minatzad. It's tiltal begufo. Chaznish says, no, that's not even tiltal minatzad. It's a normal way to move things. You kick things out of the way. So that's machlokas, Mishnah Berurah, and the chazon ish. Says the Gemara Vayter now. Tana Rabban, tevua tzavura. If you have grain that's piled up that you have clearly designated la'otza, Rashi points out, you clearly designated them to be stored away. If you began clearing it on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos to feed your animal. But if you didn't begin from Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion that it's muktzah. Rabbi Acha Matir. Rabbi Acha says, no, it's not muktzah, it's mutter. So, frankly, Gemara, klapi lai. Rabbi Shimon's the one that always doesn't say, that always says things are mutter, that they're not muktzah. So it seems that the opinions are in the wrong direction. The opinions are in the wrong direction. We have to switch it around. Rabbi Shimon is the one who's mekil, and Rabbi Acha is the one who's machmir. Tana kama shir tevua tzvura. What's the shir of tevua tzvura? What's the amount that we're talking about, that we have this machlokas about? So lesach. The shir is a lesach. So if a lesach of grain is piled up, Rabbi Shimon holds you can take from it on Shabbos without any concerns that it's muksa on account of the fact that it's designated for storage. Rabbi Acha only allows taking it from it if you already began taking from it before Shabbos. So b'minei Rabbi Nachumi bar Zecharia mei Abaye shir tevua tzvura bekama. What's the shir tevua tzvura? How much grain? So amleh harei amru shir tevua tzvura lesach. We already said it's a lesach. Fine. Ibayilu. Hani arba v'chamish kupos tukamar, v'arba v'chamish kupos in tfeilo. When we say that you're allowed to remove 4 or 5 boxes of grain from a storage house on Shabbos, does that, for Bittul Beis HaMedrash and for Achnas Sorchim, is it dafka 4 or 5 boxes, but more cannot be moved? Alma lemute bihilucha adif, meaning we try to make as few trips as possible, not to walk as little as possible in the schlepping of the boxes. So take four, if you have 4 or 5 boxes full, when you remove it, you have to remove each big box at a time, so you don't have to take so many trips. O dilma lemute masu yadif, or maybe it's better to take it in smaller jars, smaller boxes, so that you'll end up taking 10, 15 trips, but at least you're not going to be schlepping heavy things. Maybe it's better not to have to schlep heavy things. And when the Mishnah says you take 4 or 5 boxes, it means 4 or 5 boxes worth of stuff, but not to actually take it only in 4 or 5 trips. You should take it in much smaller increments that it should be schlepped out. And the Rashi explains that this shaila is within the shita of Rav Chista, who says that hay is dafka, that 4 or 5 are actual numbers, and not like the shita of Shmuel, who said that it's just kada amri inchi vafilu vibay afilu tuvanami mefanin. Right? Shmuel said, nah, 4 or 5 are just numbers, but really you could take as many as you want. According to Shmuel, there's no shiloh over here because you could take as many as you want. So that's not what we're at. We're saying when we say the number 4 or 5, is that the number of trips you're limited to, or is that the volume of items that you're limited to? So Tashma says, we'll bring a raya. The Tani Chodem, Mefanin, Afilu Arba V'chamish Kupos, Shel Kadei Shevin, V'shel Kadei Yayin. You're allowed to clear out even 4 or 5 boxes of jugs of oil and jugs of wine. V'tanya Yidach, we have another braisa, Be'eser b'chamech shasrei. You can take out 10 or 15. So my love b'hakamithli, the marsav muti b'lucha, the marsav muti b'masoyadiv. Isn't this machlokas between the two brises exactly about this issue? Whether it's better to limit the number of trips that you take, or better to limit the weight of each package that you take? Says Gemara, lo, the kuli alma muute b'hilucha adiv. Maybe everyone really agrees, better to limit the number of trips that you take, better to limit your walking. You think when we said 10 or 15, it means 10 or 15 boxes, so you're going to walk back 10 or 15 times? No, akadin kai. It's talking about the amount of jugs. When you put multiple jugs in each box, when you pile many jugs in one box, v'lo kasha, had mishtakli chad chad bekupa, v'ad mishtakli trey trey, v'ad mishtakli t'lasa t'lasa, but t'kuri d'arfanya. It all depends on how many jugs you have in a box. One brisa might be talking about where you have one jug in each box, another one where you have two in each box, another one where you have three in each box. So you're only allowed to take four or five kupos. There's a question of 10 or 15 jugs. Yeah, that you might be allowed to take if you pile several of them into one box, like the boxes of Harfanya. So the Gemara had said that to Kuli Alma, it's clear that Limute bihilucha, that it's definitely best to limit the amount that you walk. Says Tosos, Lamatzi Lemem Limute b'masoyadiv. Why don't we just say that it's Limute b'masoyadiv, that everyone agrees that really it's best to limit how much you schlep? We can't say that. Because then why would anyone say four or five? What it should have said is that take out 10 or 15 different times, go back and forth 10 or 15 different times, carrying out the amount of stuff that could fit into four or five boxes. Then Tosfos raises the question. There is a Gemara, shachta b'sada, if one shechts an animal in a field, lo yiviena b'mota b'mota, l'mavia le'evarim, afagav d'mapish b'ilucha. You have two ways to bring the animal back in. You could either cut it up limb by limb and bring it in limb by limb with some smaller, more manageable weight to carry at a time, or you could bring the whole animal at once. So the Gemara says that don't bring the whole animal at once, cut it up into pieces, because you don't want, even though you're going to be walking a lot more, you're not going to be, you don't want to have to schlep very heavy things. So don't you see over there that it's better to walk a lot more? The Mute Behilucha is not adif against our Gemara. Answers Tosos two possibilities. Number one, Hasam Shaini Dikatircha Yosemi Dai Lavia Shlema. Over there, everything has to be measured. Over there, yes, generally speaking, we'd rather you not walk so much and go through a little extra exertion. But to go through a lot of extra exertion, an animal is extremely heavy. So that's not a little extra exertion, that's extremely heavy. So you have to balance the weight versus the walking. It's not always going to be the same answer. When you're going to be carrying something of manageable weight, heavy but manageable weight, but when it's going to be unmanageable, it's going to be extremely heavy, then we're not going to say the mutei b'luchadif. Or there could be another problem with schlepping the animal all at once. It's not the weight, it's that it looks like you're going to sell it in the shuk, and that's going to be a marasayin issue, that it looks like you're doing something aser. Back in the Gemara, another shaila about these four or five boxes. Hani arba v'chamish tekamar, avagav de islay orchin tuva, odumah kolafiya orchin. When we say that you schlep four or five boxes, does that mean regardless of how many guests you have, or perhaps you can move that many boxes for each guest, meaning hakalufi orchin, and each guest you're allowed to move four or five boxes out of the way for the guest? And furthermore, vimtim salomar hakalufi orchin, and if you're going to say you're allowed to remove four or five boxes for each guest, chad gavra mefani l'chulu, odum l'gavra gavra mefani l'nafshi. Do we say that one person can move everything, or does each guest remove the amount of boxes necessary to make room for himself? And each one does whatever is needed to make room for himself. The riff writes over here that kiven di isuruhu avdin l'chumna, that in general we're machmir on this issue. And the Kasmish explains that when we say kol chad mefani l'nafshei, that each person should move his own four or five boxes for himself, doesn't mean that you have to put your guests to work as soon as they come to the house. They have to say, you know, immediately, okay, you guys move the boxes. It means that one person shouldn't do it all. It doesn't have to be the guests that do it. You can find other people that are willing to make the preparations for the guests. It's just that each individual person that moves boxes should not move more than four or five of them. But it doesn't mean that that only the person who's going to benefit from it directly is allowed to move them. No, anyone's allowed to move them.
So Tashima, let's try to give an answer. Dam Rabba Am Rabbi Chia Pamachas Halach Rabbi L'Makom Echad. One time, Rabbi went to a certain place. V'ra Makom Dachuk L'Talmidim, and he saw that it was very crowded for the Talmidim. There wasn't going to be space for the Talmidim. So V'yatzal L'Sadam Matzah Sadam Le'o Omrim. So he went out to the field and he found a field full of bundles of grain. V'ima Rabbi Kala Sadakula, and Rabbi cleared out the entire field to make room for the Talmidim. So you see that you're allowed to move out even much more than four or five boxes when you have more than one guest, when it's going to be a lot of different people. So it's four or five per guest. Rav Yosef Amar Poshia Pamachas Halach Rabbi Chia L'Makom Echad. Very similar story with Rabbi Chia, that he once went to a place, V'ra Makom Dachuk L'Talmidim, and he saw that there was going to be very crowded for the Talmidim. V'yatzal L'Sadam Matzah Sadam Le'a Omrim, and again he went out to the field and he found a field full of grain. V'imer Rabbi Chia Kol Asadakula, and he was Ma'amer the entire field. He cleared out the entire field. Shema Mina Hakalafia Orchin. So you see very clearly from here, it's not that you move four or five boxes for in total. It's four or five boxes per person that's coming, and that's why they were allowed to clear out the entire field. So that answers the first shayla. But vadayinti baylach, we could still be left with the shayla chad gavra mefani lekulo duma kol gavra vegavra mefani lenafshe. Is one person allowed to clear out the whole space, or does each person have to clear out his own space? So tashma v'imer Rebbe. It says that Rebbe cleared out the entire field. So you see that one person is allowed to clear the entire thing, and that you don't need to put everybody to work. So says the Gemara, really, you think Rebbe did it? Ultameich. Rebbe bidinav shei imer. You think Rebbe cleared out the entire place? Doesn't explain what the kasha is. Why not? Was Rebbe noticeably weak? Why would we assume that Rebbe wouldn't clear out the entire place? So Rashi writes, "Bitmiya v'chi orche denasi b'hachi." He has to maintain a little sense of dignity of the office. He's the nasi. For him to go around schlepping all day, that's not appropriate. You want to say he's humble? It's not appropriate for the office. Not about him. It's about the office of the nasi. So he can't. He would never be schlepping things in a field all day. So there's no way Rebbe did the entire field. Tosa says, "Ultameich Rebbe Nafsheimer Pirish Kala Sadakula." Meaning, Tosa is saying that's just unreasonable. There's no one that could do that whole job by themselves. Not about being the nasi. It's just too much. There's no way he could have done all this himself. So that's the Gemara. So what happens? El tziva v'imer. Obviously, Rebbe asked other people to help him. And really, each person could only take four or five boxes. One person is not allowed to clear out the entire field. The Rashash raises a very simple question over here. Two stories on Shabbos about clearing out a field. What's the word we're using about clearing out the field? Ma'amer. You know where else you find that word? In Dafayim Gimel, the list of all the Lamites Melachos of Shabbos. Ma'amer is one of the Lamites Melachos of Shabbos. So we're saying that these two Gedolei Yisrael, that Rabbi Chia, Rebbe, violated Ma'amer on Shabbos. So Rashash says you have to say that he says you have to come up with some type of way that it's not a violation of Ma'amer on Shabbos. Maybe it's not the field that they grew in, and Tosfos and Beit Lamed Aleph says that Ma'amer is only violated when you're clearing out the field, that when you're piling up the grain in the field that the grain grew in. So maybe this was in a different field. The Rambam doesn't seem that way. The Rambam sounds like there's no chiluk, so you got to come up with some other way that this is not a violation of Ma'amer. Rashi says V'imer Rebbe Kol Asada. Rashi says the field must have been a Carmelis, and he says Carmelis Havayu B'Pachus Pachus Midal Ramos, and you were carrying less than four amos at a time. So Rebbe Kiveger brings a raya from here in Or Chaim Sim Shin Mem Tes that you're allowed to carry in a Carmelis Pachus Pachus Midal Ramos. Meaning Rishus HaRabim, we do not recommend carrying Pachos Pachos Midal Ramos, even though the Isra Dal Raisa is only when you carry Dal Ramos. It's only in a significant Shas Hadchak that we ever allow carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin
pachos pachos midal ramos. We're going to have a Mishnah later on. The Gemara is going to say that if Misha hichshachol abaderech, you're walking and then Shabbos comes and you're not home yet and you have your wallet. So how in the world are you going to carry your wallet home? What should you do? So the Mishnah says very simple. You should give it to a guy. Okay, what if you don't have a guy? Put it on your animal. What if you don't have an animal to put it on? So what do you do? So the Gemara says that the Mishnah knew a secret way. There's a third way you could do it. The Mishnah just didn't want to tell us because it was afraid that we're not going to take it the right way. We're going to be too makel with things. But there's a third possibility. Pachos, pachos, midal ramos. Carry it less than 4 amos at a time. Again, the point is only in that kind of serious shas hadchak. Now, this machlokas we had Rashi and Tosas. Rashi says that, what do you mean? Did Rebbe do this on his own? The cover of the Nasi, there's no way he would have done it. Tosas says, no, there's just no way he could do the entire field. The Bach in Orchaim, Sim Shin Lam Gimel, says, according to Rashi, it sounds like Rebbe didn't do anything. He didn't clear out anything, even for himself, because he was the Nasi. So the question is, how could the Talmidim be mefana for Rebbe if it's usher to be mefana for other people? So that's what we said before, based on what we said before, that no, there's no isser of clearing out space for other people. The isser is clearing out more than 4 or 5 boxes. So you had someone who wasn't going to need any space who cleared out for Rebbe. But maybe Tosfos understands it literally. Tosfos understands that you're not allowed to clear out for somebody else. And that's why Tosfos didn't want to say like Rashi, that it had nothing to do with the dignity of the Nasi. Because if it had to do with the dignity of the Nasi, Rebbe couldn't do anything. And then how is Rebbe going to be able to be there? So maybe Tosfos, because he understood it literally, said that the Tema is not in that Rebbe did it at all, but that in Rebbe could do that much. In the Divrei Shaul, in Maseches Kiddushin, Shaul Mitzionim Ba'alacha, quotes over here, he asks, Heich ima Rebbe bifnei Rabin, how could Rebbe do this in public? Meaning it's so beneath his dignity, so he says maybe it's mucha, according to Tosfos, that he was doing something, so he says maybe it's mucha from here, that when you do a mitzvah, you're allowed to do it bifnei shlosha, you're allowed to do things that are beneath your dignity when it's for the sake of a mitzvah, because a mitzvah is never beneath someone's dignity. And that's why Rashi doesn't say, look at the Lashon of Rashi, he says, V'chi urche dinasi b'achi? Is that normal for a Nasi to do? He doesn't say, V'chi mutter l'nasi? Is it mutter? It is mutter. For the sake of a mitzvah, it is mutter. Can a Talmud Chacham go and build his own sukkah where everyone could see that he's been involved in construction in his sweatpants or whatever, you know, in his construction clothing? Yeah, that's 100% fine. That's because he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. So that's acceptable and encouraged. Right, that's a good thing to do for people to get involved. We learned the Gemaras earlier about getting ready for Shabbos. How Talmid Chacham would go out of their way to get ready for Shabbos. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar Rabbi Mifreya Orchin. So we said that you're allowed to clear out space for the guests. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Once we talk about guests, so we're going to talk about the Gadlus of Achnas Zarchim. Gadol Achnas Zarchim Kashkama Space Medrash. Achnas Zarchim is as important as Hashkama Space Medrash, as going early to the Base Medrash. The Ketani Mifreya Orchin Umpnei Bittel Base Medrash, because it says it together in the Mishnah. That what's the great motivation to clear out the space for guests and for Base Medrash? Sounds like they're on par with each other. Rav Dimi Nada Amar Yosem Hashkamas Beis Hamedrash. Achnas Orchim is even better than Hashkamas Beis Hamedrash. Tikatani Mifnei Orchin Vahadar Umipnei Bittel Beis Hamedrash. Because it says Mifnei Orchin, and then it says Mifnei Bittel Beis Hamedrash. Sounds like Orchin is first and foremost. That's the more important of the two. Amar Vidom Rav Gedol Achnas Orchin Meakabalas Pnei Shchina. Achnas Orchin is even greater than Kabalas Pnei Shchina. Tichsev Vayomer Hashem Namatzasi Chen Beinecha Al Nosavar. It also points out this if you assume that Hashem is Kadosh and not Hashem as in Malachim, as in, right, so you've got to be talking about Kadosh 2 days from Masech HaShavuos. But we learned that Achnas Orchim is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, because Avram Avinu was talking with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, excuse me, Hashem, I have guests that I need to entertain. The Velt asks the Kasha, that's great, we learned it from Avram Avinu. Where did Avram Avinu learn it from? How did Avram Avinu know that it's better to greet guests than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina? So Shar Mitzvah Balach quotes from a Chassidus Rebbe, the Gona Kadosh Mishpitipka, I'm not sure. So he quotes from that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Motzi Chama Minartika. Kadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out so that you couldn't that no one could walk in the street not to be Matriach Avram with Orchim. So Avram thinking, why did Hashem have to do that? If the halacha is that I'm not supposed to be Machnis Oreach when I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why do we have to be Motzi Chama Minartika to keep the Orchim away? Elamai, he had to keep the Orchim away because if Orchim were to come, I'd be chayiv to go greet them. So then when Orchim Taka did come, he had to go greet them. Rav Shechter quotes from from the Velt, he always says that no, the answer is that the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and Nevuas Avram and Nevuas Shara Nevi'im were very different. The Rambam goes through the four differences that made Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah different than the Nevuas Shara Nevi'im. One of the differences is that Moshe Rabbeinu got his Nevuah even while he was awake. Avram Avinu and every other Navi only got their Nevuahs while they were sleeping in a trance. If you're sleeping and you're in a trance, how would you see guests that are coming? From the fact that Avram realized that Hashem was showing him the guests, even though he was in the middle of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Avram realized that if Hashem was showing him the guests, he was showing it to him for a reason. He was showing the guests for a reason, and that means that he's supposed to go and greet those guests. That's how Avram realized that he's supposed to do this mitzvah. But I saw an interesting ha'ara. One of my Talmidim told me that from Rav Yochanan Zweig in Miami, there's a discussion in Poskim. The Gemara in Brachos Avav and Beis says that a person is supposed to be koveya makom l'tfilaso. You're always supposed to have makom kavua for davening. You're supposed to daven in the same place. Koveya makom l'tfilaso. Hey, they say about such a person, hey anav, hey chassid, what a wonderful, humble person he is. What a great person he is. And he's a talmid of Avram Avinu because Avram Avinu was koveya makom l'tfilaso. So what if you walk into a shul and you have a makom kavua and someone's sitting there? So should you ask them nicely? Obviously, you shouldn't like pick them up and physically throw them out. But should you ask them nicely, you know, that's my seat, can you move over? So Rabbi Zweig pointed out that what's the point of being Koveya Makom L'Tfilaso? It's for Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. It's to go talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's at most Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And yet, what do we see? That G'dol Achnas Archim make Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. If you really want to be a Talmud of Avram Avinu, yes, he was Koveya Makom L'Tfilaso, and Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina was very important to him. You know, it was even more important to Avram Avinu than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina? Achnas Archim. So you see that if there's someone that's an outsider, that's a guest, you should, most guests I find typically will go over to the rabbi or the gabbai and ask, is there any empty seat? Is someone, here the answer is no. So, you know, just sit wherever. But, okay, Baruch Hashem. Amar Ablazer. Borei, Shalok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar V'dam. The Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than Midas Basar V'dam. Midas Basar V'dam Ein Katan Yachal Omer L'Gadol Hamtei Na'chava Atzlecha. When it comes to a human being, you can't, a katan can't say to a gadol, wait until I come back. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu was able to say, Hashem, excuse me, I got something to take care of, and he went to go take care of the guests. There are six things that a person enjoys the benefits from them in this world, and the benefits remain for him in the world to come. Tosus points out, Perakama de Kiddushin Mefarish, Dainu Mahiso Shkula Machraas, the Schar Mitzvahs by Al Maleka. What do you mean he enjoys the benefit in this world? Schar Mitzvahs by Al Maleka. There are no mitzvah, there is no Schar of a mitzvah in this world. We can't possibly get the Schar of a mitzvah in this world. So that just means that Hashem will use it as a deciding factor when everything else is balanced, that if you did the mitzvah, but it doesn't actually use up the Schar. That's why the Karen is Kayam Salam Abba. It's not the actual Schar for the mitzvah. The Elohim, what are these six things? Hachnas asarchim, ubikur cholim, viyun tefila, vashkamas beis hamedrash. Even the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that when we say hashkamas beis hamedrash over here, he says sarach lamer demayri b'moshive beis hamedrash avshein atzman einan lomdin. He says we're talking about even if you're not learning, just someone who sets up the beis hamedrash, who helps people, who aids people in getting to the beis hamedrash. That's also hashkamas beis hamedrash, because otherwise it's the same as Talmud Torah. Va'megadol banav l'talmud Torah, someone who's Megadol's children for Talmud Torah, va'donis chaver l'kav schus, and that's going to be pretty much the rest of the daf about that one. Donis chaver l'kav schus, to be done somebody else l'kav schus is also something that you enjoy benefits from this world, and the skara and the keren is kayemes li'olam haba. So before we get to the competing Mishnah that we're very aware of what exactly belongs on that list, Danes Chavero Lekav Schus, the Gemara in Shavuos learns out from the Pasuk, B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, that you're supposed to be Danes Chavero Lekav Schus. Rashi says, you see your friend do something that you could be Machria Letzad Avero Letzad Zchus. There are two ways to interpret his actions, so you should be Machria Letzad Zchus and you should not be Choshirim for Avera. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, however, says there are limits. Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, he says, it depends who we're talking about. If the person is a Tzadik Gamur, so if you see a person do what looks like a bad action, and there's very difficult to be to touch it up l'kav schus, still if he's a tzadik gomer, you have to be dan lekav schus. If the person's a Rasha Gomer, and you see him do what seems like a good thing, you should be dan lekav chova. For a Rasha Gomer, you're supposed to be dan lekav chova. The whole issue of being David done is called dan lekav schus, is talking about an Adam Beinoni. If a person's an Adam Beinoni, sometimes he does good things, sometimes he does bad things, and he does something that you could be dan lekav schus, or you could be dan lekav chova, that's when you're supposed to be dan lekav schus. So it's always about, when we say kol ha'adam l'kav schus, it means every other person that you don't know, if you don't know who they are. But if you know that they're Russia, you know they're a tzaddik, says Rabbeinu Yonah, then you could tilt it in one direction in terms of choosing to be down l'kav chova or choosing to be down l'kav schus. So says the Gemara, really, are these the six items that belong on the list? Eini va'anantanan, we have a Mishnah, Eilu dram sha'adam osa osam v'achol perasel v'al masaveh karen kem salal maba ve'elu hein, and they are kibra ve'em, so that's it. There's four items on the list. So we see there are these four items and nothing else. So how could we have such a more expansive list? The six are included in the four. The four are headings, are categories, and the six are included in that. For instance, Hachnas Sarkam Bikur Cholim are both Gemilas Chesed. And says Rashi, so is Iyun Tefila, is also Gemilas Chesed. Not sure why, but it is. It's also b'chal gemilas gomel nafsho ish chesed. Hashkamas beis medrash gidul banim l'talmud Torah. Both of those relate to Talmud Torah. Danas chaver l'kav schus. That's hava'as shalom. So it all fits into the categories. Tanu rabbanim hadan chaver l'kav schus dan osol l'schus. If a person has done somebody else l'kav schus, they're going to be done him l'kav schus. Hashem's going to be done him l'schus. They quote from the Baal Shem Tov that. They quote from the Baal Shem Tov that when a person is going to be punished, he always has to make a gzar din on himself. When Hashem wants to punish someone in the Olam HaEmes, he's going to have to paskin his own case. And obviously, no one would ever paskin their own case l'chova. So no, the way Hashem does it is he uses the trick of Nasan HaNavi, what he did to David HaMelech. And instead of telling David HaMelech the story about himself, he said there's a story of a guy who was very rich and another guy who was very poor. Tells him the story as if it's about somebody else. And David HaMelech says, Ben Maves who? The guy deserves to die, and then Nasan HaNavi says, Ata Ish, you are that guy. So Hashem does the same thing with us. He shows us another person who behaves exactly like us and says, what do you think? What should happen to this person? So if you're someone who's done as Chaver L'Kav Schus, so then you're going to always think L'Schus, and then Hashem then done L'Sol L'Kav Schus. But if you're not done Chaver L'Kav Schus, so then you're going to end up paskin, we're going to end up paskining on ourselves. That's what they say B'Shem the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, so done as Chaver L'Sol L'Schus. So Maisa about the Mech, we're going to tell three stories now. Story happened with a guy Sheyard, Migalil Elyon V'Niskar Yitzel Baal Abayis Echad, who went from the Galilee Elyon to work. He left his house for a long time to work by a balabayis bedarom shaloshanim in the south for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippur, Mamlo Tenli Skari Veilich Vazan Asishti Vavanai. Erev Yom Kippur, he says, do me a favor, can you just pay me, give me my wages so I can go home and feed my wife and kids? Amar Lo Einli Mos says, sorry, I don't have any money. The balabayis says, Amar Lo Tenli Peros, okay, give me fruits. Amar Lo Einli, I don't have any fruits. Tenli Karka, give me land. Einli. Tenli Behema. Ainly. Tainly karmuk sasos, give me cushions, pillows, anything. Ainly, I got nothing. So he threw his kelim on his back and he went home completely dejected. After Yantuf was over, the Baal HaBayis took he took the schar that he owed him, plus he loaded up three donkeys worth of stuff. One with food, one with drink, one with different types of fruits. And he went to visit this guy's house, his employee. Employee's house. After they drank and ate and drank together, he paid him. When I told you I didn't have any money, what were you choshed me? I figured you had nothing liquid because you probably had some sort of really good deal on merchandise and you spent all of all of your money, all of your cash on that merchandise. And when I said when you asked me for an animal, I said I don't have. What were you choshed me? I figured maybe the animal was rented out. What about when I said I had no land? I figured you had a sharecropper, you had someone working on it who you had to deal with, that he was supposed to have the land for now. What about when I said I had no fruits? I figured you just didn't take maizrus yet. When I said I don't have any cushions, pillows, I figured you probably makdish all of your nechasim l'shamayim. Amalei havod kachay. He says, great guess. That's exactly what happened. He darti kol nechasim b'shvil hurkenis b'ni shelo asak b'torah. I was so upset that my son Horkanus wasn't learning Torah that I decided to take a neder that all my nechasim should belong to Shemayim, that I shouldn't have anything. But I went to my chaverim; they were matir all of my nedarim. In the Shiltos Rav Chai, this story is told in Parsha Shmos Simin Mem with a slightly different girsa. There was Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef that was Yosef Eitzel Rabbi Lozer ben Horkanus. So all the Rishonim over here quote that girsa. That's why he says Horkanus b'ni. It's logical that Rabbi Lozer ben Horkanus had a son named Horkanus, because he always named after the family members. That's why Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, right, also had a grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, because they always named after it within the family. So it's logical that's who it was. Va'atak shem shedan tani l'schus hamakom yadinav schal l'schus. So just like you were dan mi l'kav schus, Hashem should be dan you l'kav schus as well. So that's story number one. Now the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and Mishin Lamentes says that it's not a violation of Bal Tullin of not to pay somebody on time if you don't have the money. And Hagos Rabbi Veger says that it's mashma from here that if you have Shavu Kesef, then you should pay the Shavu Kesef. He says because over here he said he just didn't have anything to pay from. That's why he wasn't able to pay him. Now the Marsha raises a fundamental question. At the end of the story, the only way to explain the guy's actions was his makdish kol nechas of l'shamayim. So why didn't he start with that? Meaning he said, at first I was choshed this, then that. Just right away, just say that you're makdish kol nechas of l'shamayim. He just said right away that was, that's what he assumed. And then he would have said, okay, and that in fact was the truth. So the Sefer Torah's Mordechai is mefarish, that you can't say that, because the Gemara says in Eruch and Dav Chav Ches that it's also l'hachrim kol nechas of, and maybe even b'diavad, it's not mechramin. So if he would say that you're just makdish kol nechasav, he would still be choshelim in some sort of iser, a lesser iser, but still some sort of iser. It's only when there was nothing left, there was no zechus left to be done him, that the only way to explain it was by a smaller iser. Then he moved on from being done him lekaf zechus gomer to being done him lekaf a small chova. So Tana Rabbanan, invite the next story. Ma'aseh b'chaser achashapad riba achas bas Yisrael ulamalon hashkiva tachas margalosav. One time, a certain chassid redeemed from captivity a young girl, and when they got to a hotel, he had her sleep in his room by the foot of the bed. The next morning, Talmidim saw him come out of the hotel room. He went to the mikvah and he started teaching shir. So he said to his Talmidim, what did you think when I had her sleep in my room? We figured you didn't trust us, so you wanted to keep her close by because you didn't trust us with the girl. But then you saw me tovel. You must have assumed I'm Balkari, so well, what were you choshing me? We figured because of the difficulty of the travels that you became a Balkari. It's exactly what happened, just like you were Dan Milikavskos, Hashem should be Dan Yulikavskos. They once had to meet a very important noble woman. They needed a representative to go meet her. So Amru Miyelech said, who's going to go? Amru Lem Rabbi Shua, Ani Elech. Rabbi Shua said, I'll go. Halach Rabbi Shua v'talmid of Kivin Shegele Pesach Beis Ochol Tzil of Baruch HaGar Ba'amos v'nichnas v'nola del Spifnehen. They got to the house 4 amos away. Rabbi Shua takes off his tefillin, he goes into the house, and then he locks the door. He locks everyone else out. Achar Sheyatzi Yard v'talv v'shan talmid of, after he comes out, he goes to the mikveh and he starts saying shir. V'amru B'shua Sheklasi tefillin v'mach shad tuni. When I took off my tefillin, what were you choshing me? Amarnu Kesavar Rabbi Lo Yichnasu Devar Kedusha Makom Tuma. We figured you don't want to bring
kedusha into such a tumah place. When I locked the door and I locked you all out, what did you think? We figured you had a very important royal matter to discuss. When I went to the mikvah, what did you think? Maybe some saliva came out of her mouth and hit your beged, and it was mitame you. Amalem Havodu Kachayu says that's exactly what happened. Vatem Kshem Shazatuni Lizchus Hamakim Yadin Eschad Lizchus. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin over here. He says, what about Yichud? Isn't it an issue Yichud? And don't tell me, you know, Yichud is only Yasser if you're going to come to Bia, and it's never going to come to Bia over here. Yichud's an issue Daraisa. It may be a Siyag Daraisa, that it's only a Siyag, but it's Daraisa. So Yichud's an issue Daraisa. So he says, and Efshar, you cannot, Ein Lomar, Shema Hayusham, don't tell me that, well, her avadim were there and therefore it's good enough. First of all, ein alashon mashmakach, doesn't sound like that's what happened. And second of all, he says, if it's her avadim, then even if they're prutzim, it's still in this of Yichud. So what's going on with the Yichud? Says Rabbi Akiven, must be Mishum Dechia Gavna Lo Gazru. That when you're dealing with matters of the community and someone who's royalty, that they were not Gozer in Isra of Yichud in this kind of situation. That's not at all agreed upon by everybody. That's a major discussion over here. Some of the Achronim disagree and they say, no, the Isra of Yichud, if it tackle war Yichud, Rabbi Lezer Moshe Horovitz says, it has to be that this was before they made a Gzera of Yichud with non-Jews, because otherwise it would be a problem with Yichud, and it would be Asr. That's a major discussion. Is Yichud a Yahar Val Yavar? Is it? So what do you do in Pikuach Nefesh? Okay, we'll continue from there tomorrow. Oh, yeah.